Welcome to The Peg Doesn't Fit, the podcast that brings you the change makers in education. Tune in to hear from educational leaders who aren't content with the status quo educational model and are blazing their own path. Welcome to The Peg Doesn't Fit. Today we have Matt Boudreau on with us from Acton Academy Placer. Did I say that all correct?
It's technically Placer, but you wouldn't Placer. Know it.
Oh, Placer.
You wouldn't know that unless you lived out here in this county. So you're good.
Okay. Well, thank you for the clarification. Placer. Okay. Well, we'll get started. You're doing something pretty fascinating, at least to me, somebody that's been stuck in, you know, traditional education my whole life.
Yes, sir.
And to see you, you know, making a big change, or you're part of a system that's hugely different from traditional ed. And I've watched way too many videos now for day in the life of an Acton Academy student, all that kind of thing. A few of your videos explaining what life's like at Acton. So just give a brief summary. How did you get to where you are today?
Cool, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. It is a vastly different deal. And I know that it's vastly different because I came from the exact different that you are in, right? So I was a public school teacher. And actually, before even being in the public schools, I was at Stanford University for a while. And so I got to learn the higher ed game kind of inside and out. And then I was a public school teacher, public school administrator, and I did the same kind of things in private schools. And so, you know, I've got the experience. So I understand that it is vastly different. And it was being in those environments that made me go, okay, well, I don't want this for my kids. I also started speaking in that same time, you know, about alternative options in education, and started speaking to a lot of companies as well that were telling me they were getting college graduates that weren't cutting it. And, you know, they're all straight A students, but they weren't cutting it. So it was all of those things that I went, okay, well, my kids are not going to experience my own flesh and blood, right? They're not going to experience that. I've got to build something different, and was turned on to the Acton Academy network. And once I spent a couple hours in a studio, it was a done deal for me. It was like, this is what I want to build.
Okay. So, what makes it different for those that are not familiar with, and haven't done the geeking out research rabbit hole thing that I've done? What's it like?
Gosh, man, I wish I could give it a 30-second pitch. It is so vastly different, right? Like, the way I start people off, usually, if they don't know anything about it, as I say, you know, something along the lines of, which is, this is a true thing. Our ideal day at an Acton Academy campus is that the adults don't show up, the kids don't notice, and nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that a Lord of the Flies situation takes hold. It's they run it like a Fortune 500 company, and they don't mind that the adults aren't there because they know how to run everything. And that's K-12, right? Because you got the olders helping the youngers, and everybody understands kind of what they're doing. So, you know, when people ask, well, isn't it just school? It's not really. It's more of a work space for young people, right? To pursue and figure out who they are, and to really, you know, gain self-confidence and self-awareness. It's just a vastly different deal. They're driving their own academic journeys, you know, on an individual level, and accomplishing everything you would in school, but they're doing that in a hyper speed time because they don't have to wait for anything. They're, you know, gearing up their own, that they're able to have flexibility in how they do things. So, you know, if you want to take a traditional math course through Khan, great. If you'd rather do it, you know, in a project-based style, great. They're focused on Socratic conversations and Socratic learning. So there's no adults on campus that are answering any questions or telling them what to do. They're having to figure things out for themselves. They're having to be able to speak to why they believe what they believe. They're having to listen to other people who have opinions that are different than theirs. But they're having to come with these rules of engagement to understand how to have a high level conversation and not get overly emotional about it and be okay with civil discourse. They're taking on real world collaborative projects. Big collaborative projects every 5 or 6 weeks, and they've got exhibitions of their work so that there's a little bit of high stakes there where they're gonna have to exhibit their work to the, you know, parents and community. And they're taking on massive responsibility on and off campus. They've got jobs on campus, they got jobs off campus, you know, that really just allows for them to take on personal responsibility.
Can you hear my phone?
Yeah, sounds like you're.
Oh, well, now it quit. Weird. Guy. Okay. Taking on, I think we'll, our listeners will avoid the ringing in the background. We'll just keep letting you talk. You know, you're on how they take massive responsibility for their learning.
Yeah. And that's the key, right? Is they take on massive responsibility. Massive responsibility for their learning, for the learning that's taking place in their community, for their character, for their integrity. That's ultimately what we want. Is we want a populace of people who are capable of civil discourse. They're self-confident. They're self-aware. They're personally responsible. They're not playing a victim. It's all the things that, you know, we see are kind of ailing society or the antithesis to it, quite literally.
Mm-hmm. Well put. That really sums up, I guess, the, I don't know what you call that, the, I don't know, the beautiful theory and the action behind it. So like in terms of nuts and bolts of a day, tell me if I'm summarizing this correctly. They start their day off with kind of like everybody's together, and then they have the morning to work on some core subject areas, kind of like our content time, if they want, I guess, sure. And at their own pace, like you said, sure. Khan Academy or a project, right? Sure. And sure. Then
or any number of, I mean, Khan Academy, a project, Dreambox, Lexia,
whatever, yeah,
courses through Stanford, BYU, right? Just
whatever, sure,
a million ways to go about it.
Okay. And then there's lunch, and then they've got to clean up their own lunch. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And then in the afternoon, they have their hero's journey, correct? That's what they're working on there.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a very general schedule. Everywhere is a little bit, you sure. know, different and driven by the heroes too. Right. So, you know, they'll have those civilizations conversations, which, you know, it's not your traditional history class of here's what happened, regurgitate that to me. It is, hey, we're going to make you a hero in the story of a historical thing that actually took place. Now you've got to make a hard decision. Do you make A or B? Let's discuss that. And what would be the ripple effects of that, right? How does history repeat itself? How does history impact the future? How does that ripple effect work? It's real, you know, thought behind it kind of stuff. And then, yeah, those afternoon, you know, we might have clubs and things like that in the afternoons, but we'll have those collaborative, you know, those collaborative, what we call quests in their hero's journey, where they're really attacking a subject matter and having to produce something within that.
I love that. So, you know, you are running this as a business, and I saw the founders of Acton Academy kind of share some of their, I don't know, thoughts behind the scenes, et cetera. And they were saying stuff like, we expect that we do weekly surveys to stay in touch with parents. We potentially even give our guides, our teachers, bonuses. The heads of the school, like yourself, founders, are truly the owner of that school. What drew you to that? And does somebody that's interested in this whole, I want to jump ship from public ed, even private, typical private ed, to Acton Academy, do I need to have a business background, or how much does businessy stuff really play a role in all that?
That's a really good question, man. Freedom is what drew me to it. I don't think traditional conventional education is set up to develop a free population. And when I mean free, I don't mean anarchy. I mean somebody that understands how to make decisions and is, again, willing to be personally responsible, engage in civil discourse, understand that people aren't going to agree with you all the time, all of those kind of things. So that's what drew me to it, because I think it really, we follow more of a true developmental path, which includes a whole lot more gamification when you're young and a whole lot more play when you're young, but then a whole lot more responsibility early on as well. Mm-hmm. Two things that I think we miss in conventional, in conventional ed. As far as the business background, yeah, honestly, it does help if you have an entrepreneurial sure. at least background or DNA, right? It really yeah. does help because it's hard. It's hard. Yeah. This is a hard thing, right? We've got sure. One of the reasons it's so hard is because conventional schooling has essentially become a religion in our country. Everybody thinks they understand what school looks like and should look like, and that mm-hmm. is going to be, you know, they've been duped to emotionally believe that that's what's going to make a quote unquote successful or happy or whatever young person. And it's provably false, but they're so emotionally attached to that. So you're going to have, you know, not just parents that you're working with, but obviously, you know, you're working with employees, you're working with, it's not easy within most states to start a school, and, you know, there's extra regulations involved. So yeah, having a entrepreneurial DNA definitely helps. If you have an education background, you might even be more at a disadvantage than anybody else, because sure, you've been trained on how to perpetuate this particular religion, mm-hmm, and we're completely different. And so that's a hard thing to untrain yourself from.
Did you struggle with that?
Nope.
Because you were willing.
Because I was always what I called, creatively insubordinate within the conventional school system anyway. So I was the guy that was always in trouble from administration. Although I was, you know, beloved by students and staff and parents, because what we were doing was working, but I was administration's worst nightmare. So, I took to it like anything.
I believe it. Like, I just seeing the little I've seen so far, I have fallen in love. Cause I think as I introduced myself to you initially, I've been aching for something like this. And I think a lot of teachers are. When I talk to teachers, it's like a lot of them know something's not right, but they can't put their finger on it.
Yep.
As to what could it look like. And I read this book just recently, Weapons of Mass Instruction.
John Taylor Gatto.
Oh my gosh. He described it so well, like you did, like, this is a religion, and it is so hard for people to break away, because they almost, I don't know why, there are, everybody's reasons are, but yep, am I doing a disservice to kids to fall away from this religion? Yep. And all those things, who knows what everybody's hangups are, but I think that, you know, those, like you said, that are indoctrinated might have a hard time breaking away, I feel almost like sometimes like it's immoral for teachers to stay in this system, in the public ed system almost, or even if it's traditional private.
Yeah, that when I, and to be honest, that describes a lot of my journey very well. I inherently knew, again, why I was, you know, creatively insubordinate. I inherently knew what I was doing was helping. What I was being told to do was going to be, you know, slapping a Band-Aid on something at best, you know, which I didn't want to do. As I started, you know, I got to introduce to John. I had a pleasure of meeting John. And as I read that book, as I read, you know, history, underground history of American education, as I read his resignation letter, you know, I mean, yeah, after 30 years in public service in New York, as I read so much of his work, that was kind of the conclusion that I came to, right? Was the fact that it was almost immoral once you understand development, once you understand the conventional system, once you pay attention to the world around you and where things are going, I was doing a disservice to young people by staying there. And that, for my own integrity, is not something I can do. I got to look at myself in the mirror, right? And then again, at that point, I was also raising my own children, my oldest of which was about to go into school for the first time. Mm-hmm. There was no way that was going to happen. I think if all teachers would read his work and then get out of the fear-based mentality that we're all trained to live in, to pull the trigger to go try to launch something better, there has never been a better time for people to do it. They're just afraid.
Yeah. Yeah. Fear is a big part. Yeah.
Fear is a huge part.
And probably, you know, they can let anything seep in, but I wonder too, for those that even want to, they're like, well, I don't even know how to start and where to begin. And
sure.
And it looks like places like Acton put in place some good building blocks and with which you can get started and guide you through some of that too.
Yeah. And you're right. Everything is there within our network for people to learn, but it's one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of people that'll comb the internet and they'll talk to all their family and friends and they want to get advice on how to get in shape, or they want to get advice on how to make more money. What they really want is the comfort that comes with somebody giving them advice. They don't necessarily want to take action on that advice.
Yeah.
Right. Most people are full of crap with that. Like, they don't actually want to, because if they really wanted to, you wouldn't be able to stop them from getting the information.
Yep.
They would just go get it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the Acton owners that come in understand that we've got, like, you are automatically, you get through that application process, you are connected to more than 200 other entrepreneurs around the world who are doing this very thing. You get all of the systems, you get all of the information, you get all the projects, you get access to every single one of us, you get the tool shed that's got everything we've ever done. Like, you have it all right there. But then you got to go do things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody knows how to get in shape and be healthy. Why isn't everybody healthy?
Well, right.
It takes work.
It does.
And this is the same thing, right? And so that's one of the reasons that going through that process, especially those that have their own kids, that helps, you know, because when you're doing it for your own kids, you're less likely to let fear creep in. Or if it creeps in, it's like, that's okay. I got to do it for my kids, you know? So
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's all here.
Cool. So what does a day in the life look like for yourself, founder? In a nutshell.
Yeah, I won't say that I'm the norm at this point. I will say from the beginning, and I'll go ahead and call myself a little bit of a unicorn in a way that I'm obsessed in a way that many are not. And I don't say that that's the right thing or the wrong thing, but starting it, because everything's vastly different now. Now I have 3 campuses. Now I have a mentorship program. Now I have a podcast. Now I have other things going on. So, but to start, one of the things we talk about with new owners is you go on 100 coffee dates, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to sit down, man, and go talk to everybody. Talk to them about what do they want for their young heroes? What do they want their kids to grow up and be able to do? Who do they want them to be? Like, well, go have those conversations, mm-hmm. right? I did probably 200 of those coffee chats, breakfast with a stranger, lunch, dinner with a stranger, holding parent meetings. All the while, I was also traveling around the world and speaking to corporations so that I could make money. So, yeah. I didn't take a day off. Or I haven't taken a day off, honestly, in years. Sure. So there was all of that buildup. And then once things, and you got all the hiring and you got all, once things get up and running, a lot of founders will take it various ways. Some founders really want to guide too. They want to be in the studio and be the guide. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to do that. Yeah. For myself, I never wanted to do that. I wanted to hire the guides, have them be there so that I could continue, even though I was on campus and still working in the business and parent relationships and, student, trying to give, inspiration to student and staff. I still got to work on the business a little bit too, as far as like being vocal, being out in the public eye, trying to make connections, continuing to network. So it really just depends on the flavor of the owner. And that's sure. another thing that I like, is because you're not pigeonholed into, well, it's got to look this way, because the community doesn't look that way. Your students don't look that way. So right. even all 3 of my campuses look different, even though they're within 20 minutes of each other, mm-hmm. just a different group of people.
Sure.
So you got the freedom to do that.
Awesome. If I'm a guide, how does that look maybe different than being a traditional teacher? We said the kids are running the show, but what, yeah. I guess, what planning do they need to do? How do they,
because I
wonder if at first a teacher might feel like I'm not doing enough
sure they will. And it's way harder because, yeah. It really is. It's way harder. Now I'll preface it. It depends on what age studio you're working with too. Right. If you are working with what we call our Spark students that are, 5, 6 years old, that's a vastly different deal than working with a launch pad that's full of high schoolers.
Yeah.
But the ultimate goal of any guide is to become irrelevant as soon as you can.
Okay.
So you are always operating out of a Socratic fashion where you are providing choices. You're operating as a game maker where you're providing kind of rules to a game or a recipe to be followed. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're watching the energy of the game being played. And then you go, okay, are there extra rules I've got to throw in? Can I step away? Are they enforcing those rules? What systems can I put in place so that my job and all the different parts of it continuously get taken on by another person? That's really where you spend your entire time, uh-huh. is figuring out how do I hand over all these duties, but allow all of this to, really kind of take form into this crazy little Fortune 500 company that is being run here, where students are driven and they're motivated and they're accomplishing everything on the academic side, on the project side, but they're calling the shots because you've handed over all responsibility to them. So it's you know, there's 100 different systems that we use, and you might start out implementing 5, 6, 7,
sure,
and you back away, and then you throw a couple more in, and then you back away, and then you're just, you know, at that point you're just playing for making sure nobody gets killed.
Awesome. I see that. I think I saw in one of the videos there's a mention of like one room schoolhouse type feel. Mm-hmm. What's the class size? How large is the age mix in a studio?
Yeah. Yeah. So it depends on the campus. Okay. There are some, you know, Actons that'll run, you know, 50 students total, K through 12. And they'll just, they want to run, keep it small. And so everybody will kind of be in the same, you know, areas. Mm-hmm. Other more established or larger facilities, you know, will go usually like a Spark studio or two, which is, you know, kind of 5 and 6 year olds. And we might do 30 or so in there, and one or two guides. It really just kind of depends. Mm-hmm. And then we'll run usually a couple elementaries. That ratio is roughly 30 to 40, usually in an elementary with one or two guides. Everybody talks about this whole student to staff ratio, sure, right? And the theory is that if it's a smaller ratio, then it's a better school. We think that's completely the opposite. We think if you're doing a good job, you've got one staff member to 50 students because they're mm-hmm. self-directed and they're out rocking sure. and rolling.
Yeah.
You know, so middle school, you know, same thing, maybe one guide to 30 to 40 students. But at that point, that should start to be almost a part-time gig. Yeah. And Launchpad, you can run one to, you know, somewhat infinite in theory. And that is a very part-time gig because they're so self-directed at that point. But it takes building, you know, sure. building that in.
So from a business lens here too, like are salaries competitive to move into the Acton world compared to traditional teaching?
Again, that's to the discretion of the owner.
Sure.
Right. So you have sovereignty on that too. There's no scale okay. that we all have to follow.
Yeah.
So really what's your market? Where are you at? Who are you getting? How are you doing? You know, how are you going to stay in business and do what you got to do? So I'll say at my campus, yeah, they are. But as we continue to grow and expand, what ends up being cool is that I will bring in and hire Launchpad students that just graduated or Launchpad students that are still in Launchpad, mm-hmm. but they get a tuition break for running various parts of the program, right? That's okay. part of the responsibility cool. they take on. So that ultimately each campus, it really boils down to where, you know, I have an FTE of only two or three, but 150 students mm-hmm. because you have launch patterns that are taking on so much of that. And so maybe again, okay. they get a tuition discount, but for the economics of it all, it makes sense. And for the efficacy of it all, because they get sure. to take on more responsibility. There is no conundrum of, well, I've graduated high school, but I can't get a job because I have no experience. No, no, you actually ran an entire school. You've got experience, you've worked. And so that's why a lot of our students are walking straight into career level jobs. You know, they've got experience running businesses. Oh, and by the way, they're also starting their own businesses as part of the curriculum. And some of them are making a shit ton of money. So
sure. You know, I love it.
Not a lot of downside with that either.
No. Oh my gosh. This is getting me so excited just to see this kind of model out there. Let's see. So for anybody that wants to start an Acton Academy, like how do they go about that? What's the process look like?
Yeah. If they're really interested in doing it, they should go to actonacademy.org. And there, I think it's start.actonacademy.org. Okay. And there's a little green button up there. It says start an Acton. And there's a three-step application process. Cause we want to find out about you and want you to find out, you know, about us. And we're going to give you some things to go do a deep dive. And go, hey, go read this, go watch these videos. We want to hear what you think about this. Like, are you going to be able to make this work from an entrepreneurial, you know, pedagogical standpoint and a philosophical standpoint, but also from a little bit from an entrepreneurial standpoint, do you have the grit to push through this? You know, so, we're going to have you go through those. So I always recommend people go down the rabbit hole. Like you have Google and YouTube and listen to the Essential 11, read Courage to Grow, watch Jeff, you know, Sandifer's TED Talk. Watch my old TED Talk is fine. The new one coming out's better. Watch that. Like, do the deep dive. And then that's the website you'd go to.
Okay. All right. So leave us with some inspiration. You've said the essential 11, some TED Talks, but what if people are just generally wanting to think about innovation in education, who do you recommend, whether it's schools to follow, books to follow, school leaders, yeah, whatever?
Yeah, that's really, no, I appreciate that. I mean, I'm obviously partial to the Acton Network, so you know, that's where I would ultimately send people is down that Acton Academy rabbit hole, because you'll get all the Forbes articles and the Inc. magazine and all the, we've had so much press at this point, you know, I highly recommend that. Obviously Encouraged to Grow is the book that highlights kind of our journey. So that's obviously the big one, but getting outside of your own head around that religion is a huge deal. So, right, John Taylor Gatto, you know, watching Most Likely to Succeed. I know you've had Ted on, and I know Ted as well, Dinner Smith. And, you know, I'm also a big fan of Larry Rosenstock down at High Tech High. Larry is a super solid guy. I'm not a fan of public or charters by any stretch, but he's done a really good job down there. You know, Ivan Illich, you got some of the OGs, Ken Robinson, those guys are all classics. Sure. But John Taylor Gatto, man, for as far as getting people out of that religious mindset around school, I don't know anybody that did a better job than him as far as that goes.
That was pretty incredible. Like I'm already down that rabbit hole, or have been for 10 years and just haven't found the right niche. Yeah. But like that book was a mind fuck, and I was already ready for it.
Yep.
So I can't imagine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally. So when are you going to start yours?
I got to figure that out. I mean,
yes,
I'm
excited.
Yeah. I've sent for the application packet, and step one. So
good for you. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, anything I can do to help on that, man, say the word. Cause that's
okay.
You know, that's part of the beauty of this network too, is, you know, we've got a bunch of people who are in it for the mission, you know? And so that's part of my role with the network too. It's not a paid role. It is just I want this for
the whole
role, is helping people get, you know, accustomed to it, helping people apply, helping people get through, and helping people get started strong. So whatever I can do,
say, I'd love to go check out, your website is really good about saying you are the founder. Yeah. And then you have a co-founder as well. In my looking you up, I found out there's an Acton Academy in Wichita here where I'm at.
Yeah.
Zach. But I can't tell who's the founder. It just has people with their titles, and it doesn't say who does what.
Yeah.
I would love to get in there, but I don't know if you know who to contact there at our
Wonder Academy. Well, yeah, I mean, so here's the interesting thing, right? So I know the owner there very well. He's actually part of our governance council globally too. He's
okay.
A friggin' rock star. It's a really solid location. One of the things that makes people angry a lot of times is the fact that we don't really have visitors just come check out campuses.
Sure.
And it's because of a few things. One, especially when you're established, we get hundreds of requests every week.
Yeah.
That's not hyperbole, right? So it's literally impossible for us to be able to do that. Right?
Yeah.
Two, I believe it. We talk about wanting it to be a sacred space for the young people. So if you think about a sacred dojo, you know, in an old 80s kung fu movie, and you know, you got the student and the master and these things going on, and then you've got 80 people walking through the background, well, boy, it takes away the sacredness of that space,
right?
You know, and so that's a hard balance to strike too. So that's you know, two of the bigger reasons. But that Wichita location's rad.
That's good to hear. It looks cool. Just in terms of like their webpage, I was also fascinated by how every webpage is different. Does Acton set you up with a web developer so that you can customize to your space, or how does that even work?
Yeah, there's a gentleman that is within the network that will gladly do that for you and pull a lot. I mean, he'll have it up and running, you know, really, really quickly because he's done so many of them, and then allow you to customize based on you and where you are and all that. And I used him as well because I wanted the website up and running quickly, and we want to just kind of make changes as we go a little bit here and there. And he's phenomenal, but you don't have to, right? Like there's not a have to on that.
I like the freedom that it sounds like Acton gives you.
Yes, sir. Yep, you've got freedom. As long as you're adhering to, you know, we're moving towards a student-driven kind of campus. We're adhering to this belief in the young people and that they are geniuses, and we want to, you know, provide this opportunity for them to find a calling to go out and change the world. And, you know, everything we do is going to be geared towards that. You know, we're not going to answer questions. We're not going to lecture. We're not going to, as long as we're adhering to those basic tenets of who we're saying we are, we're not going to take a, you know, a hard political stand. Like, none of the students on campus know where I fall politically, religiously, or whatever, right?
Right.
Like, they have no idea, because that's not my job. Mm-hmm. My job is to go, cool, who are you? What do you believe? That's interesting. Yeah. Who are you? What do you believe? Interesting. Those are different. Let's talk.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
that's our job, right? It doesn't matter what I think. They're not here for me. So as long as you adhere to that, you're golden, man. And you got sovereignty.
That is awesome. So what are the best ways for our listeners to get in contact with you, or what methods do you prefer?
I'm most active probably on Instagram, just at my name, at Matt Bodrow. They can definitely check out, you know, obviously the Acton Placer website, but that's more for new families, and go down that Acton rabbit hole. But if you want to get in contact with me, IG is probably the best way
to
do it there. Obviously the Essential 11, I'd love for them to check out that podcast as well. And then ApogeeStrong.com is our mentorship program that I run with Tim Kennedy and for the young men.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you,
Matt Bodrow.